The Czechoslovak legions occupy an almost legendary place in Czech history. They comprised the armed forces that fought during and after World War I on the Allied side in pursuit of an independent Czechoslovakia. The biggest force and most potent myths center on the Russian force, which became embroiled in the Civil War, spending 3 years and traveling thousands of miles before returning home. In this week's edition of Czechs in History, Chris Johnstone looks at the myths and facts about their exploits.
The Czechoslovak legions were a potent myth and reality for the first Czechoslovak Republic created in 1918. Many of their military leaders filled the top ranks of the new nation's army. Some finally went over the edge, creating anti-democratic parties and siding with the Nazi occupiers at the end of the 1930s. Physical landmarks, such as Prague's Most Legie, is named after them, although it was constructed earlier and the name was changed during the Nazi and communist regimes. A memorial to the legionaries also dominates Prague's Palatsky Square. One of the city's interwar architectural masterpieces, the bank founded for the returning legionaries, Banka Československých Legií, or Ligo Banka, is a Rondo Cubist masterpiece by the celebrated Czech architect Josef Gočár. But it is perhaps at the psychological level that the foundations go deeper. More about that later. From the start of World War I, Czechs abroad started to form national units to fight on the Allied side. Small at first, their numbers and significance started to snowball when they were supplemented by prisoners and deserters from the Austro-Hungarian army fighting alongside Germany. All this fitted in well with the strategy of Tomáš G. Masaryk, the leader of Czechoslovakia's independence movement and later first president. Ivan Šedivý is a specialist in modern Czechoslovak history at Prague's Charles University.
He knew that independent state cannot be without army. And so in many articles he wrote that Czech movement against Austro-Hungary need its independent army forces. And so Masaryk tried to create such army forces not only in Russia, but very soon also in France. And at the end of the war, also in Italia and also in the United States.
But the Russian Revolution in 1917 represented a major hurdle to this plan. While the newly established independent Czechoslovak force proved its fighting worth in the offensive of Alexander Kerensky's provisional government, that government was soon overturned by the Bolshevik Revolution, with Lenin opting for peace. The Czechoslovak forces wanted to carry on fighting and now faced the challenge of how to get to France. Their way back west and to the northern Baltic ports was blocked by German armies. They faced the choice of a hazardous trip south towards the Middle East or further east along the Trans-Siberian Railway to the port of Vladivostok. They opted for the latter route and what was to become a 3-year odyssey. Unfortunately, they soon became caught up in the civil war between the Bolshevik government centred on Moscow and opposition forces backed by the Allies, who were angered by Lenin's unilateral exit from the war. Ivan Šedivý again.
At the beginning, Masaryk didn't want to fight the legions against the Soviet Bolsheviks. But after the so-called Chelyabinsk incident in May 1918, when fightings between Bolsheviks and legionaries started, the Czech legionaries fight with so-called white forces, fight against Bolsheviks. But I think it was not crucial for us to win this war.
The Czechoslovak Legion represented a well-organized and potent fighting force which occupied large swathes of Siberia. It made use of armored trains along the railway to ferry forces to key points. Its imminent arrival is believed to have contributed to the decision by local Bolsheviks to execute the Tsar and his family at Ekaterinburg in July 1918. But even so, it was still a fairly small force.
At this time, the Czech corps has about, let's say, 70,000 Czech soldiers and about 20 or 30,000 Russian soldiers. So together it was corps about 200,000. So it wasn't force which would be able to defeat Bolsheviks, in fact.
The Czech forces also became disillusioned with one of the main White Army generals, Admiral Kolchak.
The Czech attitude towards Kolchak, towards Kolchak government, rapidly changed during the time. At the beginning, from 1918, the Czech legions crucially supported Kolchak's forces. He created his government with Czech help, you know. But then, yes, Kolchak wasn't itself Democrat, and he created the government with Cossacks and Ottomans' help also. So his government wasn't so much democratic. So Czech forces started to be neutral in fighting on Siberia.
The Legion even paved the way for Kolchak's capture and execution by Bolshevik forces at the start of 1920. The most intriguing story about the Czechoslovak Legion's Siberian journey concerns the rumours that they kept one of 8 wagons of the Tsar's gold after the rest were handed over to the Bolsheviks as part of the deal to get home. Professor Shedevi.
Nowadays we can read in many Russia newspapers that this gold was stolen to the Czechoslovakia. To tell the truth, there are no evidence that it was so. On the other side, nobody can argue that it wasn't.
He says a telegram found in the archives talking about the transport of a gold cargo, ostensibly for medical use, through the port of Trieste for Czechoslovakia, lends some support to the Tsarist gold story. But the Czechoslovak Legion had branched out into many money-spinning ventures during its time in Siberia, and the gold could have stemmed from them.
Czechoslovak Legions had very wide economic infrastructure. It had its financial office, and this financial office made during the Siberia period very broad scale of great business with products and, of course, also great business with currency and with gold. So it's possible that many financial and gold resources later deposited in so-called Bank of Czechoslovak Legions, established in, I think, in 1920, these resources were mostly from its economic transaction of Czechoslovak Legions, not from this gold of Tsarist family. We must have in mind that the Legions were approximately 3 years in Siberia. They made business with Russia, with the Chinese, with Japanese, and so on, you know. Even more, they obtained some part of monies from some soldiers.
World War I was long over by the time the last members of the Czechoslovak Legion shipped out of Vladivostok by April 1920. Many of the newly returned found posts in the army, with their long combat service a major factor in their favour.
They created approximately one-third of all men of new created Czechoslovak army, but they absolutely prevail in high command. Almost all generals, a great part of generals were legions, especially Russia legions, such person like General Syrovy.
General Jan Syrovy became a 4-star general and Czechoslovak Army Chief of Staff. He also served as reluctant Prime Minister during the Munich crisis in 1938. For Professor Shedevi, the colourful stories of the exiled Czechoslovak forces provided a powerful image of the independent struggle during the First Republic. Later on, after the capitulation of Munich and later Nazi occupation, communist takeover in 1948 and Soviet-led invasion of 1968, it provided Czechs with one clear example of national military exploits. The uncomfortable fact, though, is that far more Czechs and Slovaks died during World War I on the Austro-Hungarian side fighting the Allies than in the small military units that fought alongside them.
There's a little comparison. For instance, all legions were killed about 5,000 during the war. And on the other side was killed about 150,000, I think, even more maybe on the Austro-Hungary of the Austro-Hungary army. In fact, Czech people didn't fight like one man against Austro-Hungary. In fact, it was only a part of nation fighting against the Austro-Hungary.
But there again, as the saying goes, it's the winner who writes history. And after World War I, Czechoslovakia was clearly on the winning side.